We all know someone who's all work and no chill. Trust me, that used to be me. But then I found Galaxy Z Fold 4, which allows me to do more things at once. Ah, much better. Now I can take video calls from my phone and use it to take notes at the same time.
Wait, are you at the spa?
Or check my shopping list while ordering more scented candles and face masks on the foldable, expansive screen. Don't take your to-do list one line at a time. Multitask so you can relax.
Click the banner to get your Galaxy Z Fold 4.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Buckle up, all you leftists out there, because you're going to be triggered today. Folks, we're going to drop a lot of truth bombs across the country, and it is what it is. And yesterday during this program, of course, the breaking news happened when we received word of a school shooting. After the program, we started to learn the horrific details. The last count, 19 children killed, two adults also killed, and then the evil attacker. And there's been a lot of debate and a lot of conversation already. I've got a lot to say about this, because we're dealing with a big problem in this country, and the problem is nobody wants to talk about what that big problem is. They think the big problem is something else, and that something else is in fact not the big problem. Now, a lot of people are saying, Todd, we've got to get the guns. We've got to get the guns. There's no reason why anybody in America needs to have an AR-15. That's not the issue. Guns are not the problem here, folks. Guns are not the issue. Other people will say, Todd, we've got to get God back into schools. Hear me. That's not the problem either. The problem is not the guns. The problem is not the fact that God is not in many public schools. The problem facing America is that God is not in your home. That's the problem. And I waited last night as long as I could to weigh in on this. And I waited specifically on the killer and writing anything about the gunman until the facts started coming out, until we had enough information out there where I could ascertain what was really going on here. And we should not be surprised. We have some exclusive details about this 18-year-old monster and his life, his family background. Clear to me, there were enough warning signs, just like the shooter in the Buffalo, New York attack. There were plenty of warning signs. There was interaction with police and law enforcement that should have prevented the Buffalo gunman and now this gunman from obtaining any sorts of weapons. So the issue here, and there are several, but it's not what the mainstream media wants you to think it is. Now, Rob Reiner, the Hollywood actor and director, he played a guy called Meathead on All in the Family back in the day. He says the blood of every child that dies of gun violence in this country is on the hands of the Republican Party. Well, that's a load of crap, and he knows that. By the way, all of these people out there, including President Joseph Robinette Biden last night, every single one of these people who are calling for the confiscation of guns, and by the way, the reporting is that this teenager had a handgun as well. Are they calling for the confiscation of all handguns as well? Look, you can confiscate every gun in America from every law-abiding gun owner, and the only people who are going to have guns are the government and the criminals. Yes, I know that's an oxymoron, but you know what I'm talking about. But all of these people, Joe Biden, the Hollywood actors, all of these lawmakers on Capitol Hill, all of the people that are out there condemning this gun violence and saying that we've got to take guns away from law-abiding American citizens, every single one of those people are heavily surrounded and guarded by men and women who have guns. Now, if you want to have that conversation, fine, relinquish your security details. And then we can have an honest discussion. But it looks to me like the government is just chomping at the bit to take away your guns, to confiscate your lawfully acquired, lawfully owned firearms. And I don't know about you, but I have a problem with that. Now, what we should have been talking about last night were those beautiful children and the brave, heroic teachers who gave their lives trying to protect those kids. We should have been talking about the border security agent, the border patrol agent, who ran into the danger zone and engaged the gunman and took him out. This brave border patrol agent who was wounded in the attack. That's what we ought to be talking about. We ought to be talking about the grieving families. We ought to be talking about ministering to and caring for these families. But nobody wanted to have that conversation. And I'm afraid even some folks in the conservative media are going squishy on the issue of the Second Amendment. I want to play some audio this morning from Fox and Friends. This is Ainsley Earnhardt, and she was invoking the name of Jesus in this, cut number 10.
Well, I'm just sitting here thinking, you know, you hear the phrase in church, Lawrence, we all are involved in our churches, that we all put Jesus on the cross. It wasn't just one group. We were all guilty in that because he had to die on the cross for our sins. And I think about, is this all of our faults? I mean, as a country, we're so divided. You hate someone else because they vote a different way than you do.
Well, that has, first of all, how do we know this has anything to do with politics? I mean, and I'm going to get to the background of this gunman, but this kid was messed up. Grew up in a home where the mom was a drug addict, had to live with grandma, no dad in the picture. I mean, you can kind of figure out for yourself how that went down. But now, Aaron, you've got the Fox and Friends host saying, oh, you know what? Maybe we all bear responsibility. Maybe we all bear some responsibility. I'm not responsible for what happened down in Texas. Anyway, here's Earnhardt again.
And you think about what these parents are going through and they'll never see their kids again. You know, and even if they have three kids, it doesn't replace the one that they lost. But what if about the mom who has one child and she will never be a grandmother because this man went into these schools and did this? What do we need to do to heal as a country and to make sure that these gunmen like this do not are stopped before they get to this point? Parents, take your children to church. I don't know what's going on in these individuals' hearts, but they have a void. They have a hole in their heart, and they are evil, and they are unhappy. Help them to get help. And I know it's not always the parents' fault because the parents are trying in many cases. And when there's mental illness involved, sometimes you're at your wit's end, and there's not much more you can do. But I don't know what the solution is. I don't know how to fix this, but I do know love your neighbor as yourself. That's what the Bible instructs us to do. It doesn't say love your neighbor if he or she's a Democrat or a Republican. And our country has gotten so divided. And I just am tired of all of this evil, and I don't know what the solution is, but we definitely need to love each other and come back to where we were after 9/11 when we were one country.
What is she talking about here? What, this has nothing to do with Democrat or Republican. This has to do with lawmakers coming out immediately after this attack and demanding that guns in America be confiscated. I mean, you heard Chris Murphy on the Senate floor. It was this guy unhinged. Somebody should have given this guy medication.
Why do you spend all this time running for the United States Senate? Why do you go through all the hassle of getting this job? Of putting yourself in a position of authority. If your answer is that as this slaughter increases, as our kids run for their lives, we do nothing. What are we doing? Why are you here? I'm here on this floor to beg, to literally get down on my hands and knees and beg my colleagues. Find a path forward here. Work with us to find a way to pass laws that make this less likely. I understand my Republican colleagues will not agree to everything that I may support, but there is a common denominator that we can find.
You know what? Exactly what sort of a gun law would have prevented what happened yesterday? Somebody explain that to me. What sort of law on the books would have prevented what happened yesterday in Texas? There are already plenty of laws on the books. Why don't we try enforcing those laws for a change? Why don't we have a conversation about mental illness? Instead of putting people in hospital and treating people, which is what they used to do, now the mentally ill are walking among us. And I'm not saying every mentally ill person in America is going to go to a school and open fire. We don't even know if this kid had mental illness. Somebody just threw that out there. I mean, I would assume just at face value, you'd have to be slap crazy to go and do something like this. But there's been no official diagnosis of mental illness. And I'm hearing people out there, including people on the right, well, we all have a role to play. No, we don't. A gunman walked into a school. He shot up that school and killed innocent people. And thank God for the Border Patrol agent who went in there in the line of fire and took this monster out. That's the story. But the Democrats, and again, well, the Republicans, no, it's not. It is the Democrats who came out and made politics out of all of this. And then when someone comes like myself and tries to explain that we shouldn't be going down this path because there's no path to go down, it is the wrong path. Well, Todd, you're just playing politics now on the bodies of dead children. No, I'm not. Now, yesterday, President Biden, and I got to give him credit, he opened up his remarks, and I was riveted. I mean, this what he said was absolutely presidential.
Good evening, fellow Americans. I had hoped when I became president, I would not have to do this again. Another massacre. Uvalde, Texas, an elementary school, beautiful, innocent, second, third, fourth graders, and how many scores of little children who witnessed what happened see their friends die as if they're on a battlefield, for God's sake. They'll live with it the rest of their lives. There's a lot we don't know yet. There's a lot we do know. The parents who will never see their child again, never have them jump in bed and cuddle with them. Parents will never be the same. To lose a child is like having a piece of your soul ripped away. There's a hollowness in your chest. You feel like you're being sucked into it and never going to be able to get out. Suffocating. It's never quite the same. It's a feeling shared by the siblings and the grandparents and the family members and the community that's left behind. Scripture says, Jill and I have talked about this in different contexts, in other contexts. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. So many crushed spirits. So tonight, I ask the nation to pray for them, give the parents and siblings the strength in the darkness they feel right now.
Now, had the president ended his remarks at that moment, the entire nation would have applauded him and would have saluted him and would have honored him. What he said there was presidential. It reminded me of the of the speeches that Ronald Reagan gave in the aftermath of the space shuttle disaster and the attack on the Marine barracks in Beirut. It was a somber moment, but he did not stop there. It's as if mean Biden turned a switch on and he declared war on all of you law-abiding gun owners, as if you guys were personally responsible, all you hunters were responsible for what happened in Texas at that grade school. Now, we're going to get into that. We got to take a break here. But I'm going to open up the phone lines. Here's what I think needs to happen. We spent $40 billion, $40 billion giving money to the Ukrainians so they could arm themselves and defend themselves against the Russians. And you're telling me we don't have any money to arm security guards to protect American public schools and American soil? I find that very hard to believe. But here's what needs to happen. We need to have armed security guards at every public school in America, whether it be full-time police officers, retired police officers, military veterans, anybody who is a legal, law-abiding gun owner who passes whatever test needs to be passed. That's what needs to happen here. Because at the end of the day, no matter what, an elementary school is always going to be a soft target for these evil animals. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
There's no doubt the nation is facing a financial crisis because of the Biden administration's economic policies. Hi, this is Todd Stearns, and no doubt our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold, and they can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship the gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can actually fit inside a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
All right, so the latest reporting out there, they say the gunman bought two rifles, 375 rounds of ammo the week before the shooting. Also, we're learning new information about this kid. Latino male reportedly cut up his own face with a knife because he claimed it was fun. That's according to one of the suspect's former friends. They say he was bullied. This is from the Washington Post. Now, you got to read into this. The Washington Post said the mass murderer was bullied for wearing black eyeliner and having a lisp. He also lashed out violently against peers and strangers over the years. A female classmate said she remembers at least five times the suspect had fist fights in middle school and junior high. And the police were reportedly called to the home several times because of violent blow-ups between the gunman and his mother, who is reportedly a drug addict. One classmate said that he called his mother the B word. She wanted the police to throw him out of the house. He was very aggressive. So people knew that something was not right here, but they turned a blind eye. And why is that? Because of the same reasons, and we've seen this happen in these school shootings, where you've got these messed up kids and the school district's not allowed to do anything because of Obama era policies, going back to Parkland High School in Florida, where the teachers are, and the educators are not allowed to get these kids out of the schools. So, again, my question is, why was there not a file kept on this kid? Why was he able to go over there and purchase these weapons knowing that he had these issues in his past and not so recent past. So, look, we're going to go to the phones here right after this break. We've got Ronnie in Oregon, Harry in Texas, Connor in Boston, 844-747-8868. What's the answer? How do we keep these schools safe, folks? How do we do it? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
We all know someone who's all work and no chill. Trust me, that used to be me. But then I found Galaxy Z Fold 4, which allows me to do more things at once. Ah, much better. Now I can take video calls from my phone and use it to take notes at the same time.
Wait, are you at the spa?
Or check my shopping list while ordering more scented candles and face masks on the foldable, expansive screen. Don't take your to-do list one line at a time. Multitask so you can relax.
Click the banner to get your Galaxy Z Fold 4.
So President Trump just posted a message over on Truth Social. He says Americans need real solutions and real leadership in this moment, not politicians and partisanship. And he's right. He says he is going to honor his commitment to speak in Texas at the NRA convention this week. And he says he's going to deliver an important message to America. So President Trump announcing he will, in fact, speak at the NRA meeting. I believe that's in Houston. He says, in the meantime, we continue to pray for the victims, families, and our entire nation. We're all in this together. And he's right. We are. And that's the kind of message Joe Biden should have delivered last night instead of literally throwing a firebomb into the culture. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Ronnie in Salem, Oregon. KYKN, the great affiliate. Ronnie, what's on your mind?
The black redneck conservative here out here from Polk County. But my thing is this. All the shootings under 20, 21, 18, whether it's the one in Buffalo last week, whether it's the subway shooter, whether it's the one, you know, whatever, or even the one in Oakland. Where are the parents? Where is the liability on the parents of these kids? Where is the mentoring? If this person, I was raised in a foster home, my brother, and down in Fontana, California. It used to be a Ku Klux Klan capital, Western United States, College of Steel. 4,000 working per shift, middle-class America. We used to be held accountable with a community corporal punishment program, you know what I'm saying? You grew up down south, well, you know what I'm getting at. But thing is this, there's no accountability. A lot of these parents want to be their friends, give them the iPhone, give them this, give them that. You can have the most brightest kid, and I mentor a lot of kids in the Salem area and in the rodeo world, team ropers, some of the young team ropers throughout the valley, the Willamette Valley. And the point, what I find is this, they don't communicate. There's go on and keep kicking the can down the road. We had over 400 kids commit suicide overdose in the last 2 years in the Willamette Valley alone.
Ronnie, let me jump in here. Ronnie, let me jump in here for a minute. So according to the New York Times, this gunman, Salvador Ramos, I'll try not to say his name a lot here on the show, but Ramos was a passionate video game nut. Loved Fortnite and Call of Duty. Those were the big games. Someone who used to play video games with him could overhear him arguing with his mother and using all sorts of explicatives. Clearly, all that to say, this kid was living with the grandma who he shot, and she's alive. But it's, there was no family home here. There was no family structure. I mean, this kid clearly was raised with no moral conscience at all.
Exactly. And I'm going to tell you, Todd, the biggest problem is this. I was 11 years old. I was put in a foster home until I was 18. I was blessed to have two foster kids. I was blessed to have an extended family that was created with my Swedish mother or my Scottish mother or my mama Pat or anybody else because they did not waver, but they uplift equally sharpen the sword.
It's about family. It's about family.
Right.
All right,
yes, sir.
Ronnie, gotta leave it there. God bless you, sir. Thank you for listening. And it is about family. What is it Ronald Reagan said? American exceptionalism starts at the kitchen table. It's a mom, it's a dad in the household, being mom and dad, not friends. All right, let's go to Ernest in Mississippi, listening to us on the great WPMO. Ernest, what's going on?
How you doing, Todd? Okay, you just tell me to shut down. I know you're on time then, but here I go. The government is always talking about, let's do gun thing when something happened. If you remember, and I know you have good staff to do research, look at all the cases where on social media, these people have been there, and the FBI called us to looking at things. The shooting last year in Florida, the shooting in Buffalo, and several other shootings. My mind slipped. But anyway, you get my point. All majority of shootings, even at these schools, there's been some issue on the social media, but yet they'll arrest parents going to a meeting when all these other red flags, even just in Buffalo, the grocery shooting, all these people have been red flagged. Where is our FBI Attorney General? That's what I want to say. Is all this technology we have, we're going after the wrong people. And when Obama was in, how he had these schools to downgrade these teenagers because they committed crimes, all that stuff has an effect. And our law is useless. Take out that Fort Hood major in the Army. He may be in prison, but your folks can research this, but he's still getting his military benefit. And look at the shooting he caused. They take every opportunity to blame guns, but they're at fault because they're letting people get through who are being red flagged or should be red flagged. I'm going to stop there because I can go on.
Oh, no doubt. Look, Ernest, you're spot on accurate. I mean, we talk about red flag laws. Okay, well, what about this kid who was clearly on the police radar? There's plenty of evidence that he was posting very disturbing stuff on social media. And you're right, Ernest. Instead of going after these actual threats, they're shutting down people like Mike Lindell and President Trump. And they're sicking the FBI on these moms and dads who are raising concerns with their local school board. I mean, it's a fair thing you raise. Ernest, thanks for the call. But yeah, one of the friends of this monster says that he would leave his mother's house, stay with the grandma for several days after a big fight. And it seemed over the past year that he was actually spending even more time at the grandma's house. By the way, one of the officers arriving at the scene, I am not making this up, Eric Estrada from no, it's not, and it's not that Eric Estrada, but it's Eric with a CK, E-R-I-C-K, Eric Estrada, not the chips guy. Border Patrol agent, by the way, this is coming from the Associated Press, and this is the hero. You had a Border Patrol agent who was first on the scene, and he rushed into the school without waiting for backup, and he shot and killed the gunman, who was apparently behind a barricade. The agent was wounded and was able to walk out of the school after taking out the monster. Man, God bless that agent. We'll find out who that agent is, I'm assuming, and we're going to honor that guy. All right, let's go to Connor in Boston. Connor, what say you?
Todd, it's a pleasure to be with you, Grace, and producer Kyle today. I wish it was under, we were having a better conversation. But Todd, I'm so disgusted, and I'm just saddened by what's happened here. You hear a lot from people on the left, and they'll talk about, Europe being gun-free and having severe gun control measures and all that kind of nonsense that they'll talk about. For somebody who goes to Europe quite a bit for work, I just was in Munich not that long ago. What you'll do is you'll see over there is you'll see, like, in sensitive areas, you'll see a heavily armed, like I'm talking like an automatic weapon, almost like a military-grade officer walking around with that in full view. Why aren't we having somebody like that or an armed person in our schools, maybe like a retired cop, maybe a military member, where if you, and the instructions being like, where if you see a threat like this come on the scene, you don't ask questions, you don't talk them down, it's a kill shot and you take out a monster like this. I mean, really, if you have somebody like this who is killing innocent children, innocent, beautiful children, how is that different than a terrorist attack that everybody, that they're always concerned about from the right? They're always concerned about, you'll hear that commonly on like CNN and that kind of stuff.
You know, Connor,
not a terrorist attack.
Connor, this is fascinating. The Washington Post actually ran the numbers back in 2018. And they wanted to know how much would it cost. President Trump, if you remember, President Trump is always right about this kind of stuff. President Trump actually suggested, let's arm the teachers. Let's get the teachers armed. So they ran the numbers. They said it would cost about $71.8 million to send every school teacher in America to training, to learn how to operate, to learn how to fire a weapon. And when you think about it, that's not all that bad. I mean, considering we're spending, what, $40 billion, the last aid package to Ukraine, and Lord knows it's going to be higher than that. But Newt Gingrich actually suggested about 6 to 8 guards in the class, in the schools. And they're saying that would cost upwards of, what, $50-something billion. Okay, we just spent $40 billion last week in Ukraine. Doesn't seem like that big of a stretch.
And I think also, Todd, for even for that price point, to save these beautiful children, you know, to make sure a family doesn't have to bear this horrible tragedy, I think that that's a bargain, quite frankly, in terms of price. But the talk track needs to be, we're not talking down a monster like that. We're going to take them out, and as the security, as these police officers, we're going to deliver them to hell's doorstep. That's my stance on that. Take them out, get rid of them, put them in the ground, eliminate the threat.
Well, I'm with you, but ultimately, a lot of these guys, that's what they're wanting. You know, they want death by cop or suicide by cop or whatever. I say, let's identify who these people are. There are warning signs, and for whatever reason, just like in Buffalo, New York, police took a pass. There was no report filed, no flags. So the guy was able to go out last week or week before last, buy his guns, get his ammo, and go kill a bunch of fourth graders and their teachers. And we just can't allow that to happen. Connor, got to run. God bless you. Good hearing from you. All right, Harry, hang tight. Harry in Texas, we've got a couple of lines open here, folks. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Have you heard the big news? Greta Van Susteren is back. Greta's joining Newsmax as the host of her new show, The Record, with Greta Van Susteren. Starting June 14th, Greta reports on the big stories from Washington, giving you the facts you need to know. Greta is smart, asks the tough questions, and is always fair. Greta is journalism the way it ought to be. I made the switch to Newsmax, folks, like millions of others, so you make the switch too and watch Greta Van Susteren. You can get info about her new show. Just text the word Greta to 39747. That's Greta to 39747, or go to GretaIsBack.com. That's GretaIsBack.com. You can make the switch today to Newsmax, America's fastest-growing cable news channel. And get the latest on Greta's new show. Text Greta to 39747. Newsmax is real news for real people. I watch all the time, and you should too.
If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why? It's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products. Everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. And use the promo code Starnes or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code Starnes.
By the way, I just want you folks to think about this across America. So this kid, 18 years old, who shot up the Texas grade school. So a lot of these Soros-backed DAs, district attorneys, they want to treat these 18-year-old mass murderers and anybody under the age of 25 like they're juveniles. As a matter of fact, in Memphis, Tennessee, the guy running as the Democrat for district attorney, a guy by the name of Steve Mulroy. By the way, this dude, he blocked me on Twitter. And why did he block me on Twitter? Because I called out his nonsense that's going to get all of us killed. This guy, Mulroy, wants to actually raise the age of juvenile crimes to 25 years old. So let's just say this kid had not been taken out by Border Patrol. he would have been treated, if this had happened in Memphis, Tennessee, and Mulroy was the district attorney, this kid would have been out on the street. That's how bad this is. It's a very dangerous situation. Anyway, go ahead and block me, Mulroy, but we're still going to come after you, sir. All right, shame on you. Let's go to the phones here. Alan in Georgia, WDUN. Hey, Alan, what's going on?
Hey, good day there, Todd. I'm glad they're talking about this today, simply because that was what I did for a career. I'm retired law enforcement, and after I retired, I taught the NRA program, National School Shield, for a while around the country. And there's some simple ways that all of America's schools could help prevent this, and I know you touched on a lot of them today, especially when they red flag these people and keep in touch with them. But some of the most simple things that can be done, we taught. We're hardening, you know, your perimeters, looking at all the ways people can come and go on your campuses. Things like cameras to see where people can hide or where they can come in. One of the biggest is keep your doors locked. Have one way into that building and one way out when school is in session. Have somebody at that particular door, especially if you want it to be bulletproof, that can vet somebody walking up to that school. Show ID, show purpose. And by all means, they all need a school resource officer in that building who is armed, who can come to that door. If the person who's vetting says, looks like there's somebody suspicious, this looks like a problem. The problem we saw in so many schools, everybody is so lax letting kids come and go. They keep all their doors open. People can come and go in maybe 15, 20 doors in a school. The athletic department's always guilty. They leave those, going out to the ball field, they leave those doors unlocked. This is the kind of stuff that can be prevented. It doesn't take a lot of money. It takes a little bit. You need cameras, you need an SRO, and you need somebody that can vet people coming in the one door you let the parents or civilians come and go in. When the buses aren't running, teachers, you know, are in class, nobody gets in unless they come through that one door.
And Alan, I think these are brilliant, very practical, you know, suggestions, and we ought to already be doing that on these, you know, on these school campuses. The reality, though, when you're talking about a grade school, and I heard someone talking about this on one of the channels last night. Look, if you're at a high school, you got the football team there. They're going to try and help take out that guy. But you're talking about grade school, little kids. You know, the only person there is the school teacher. And it's a horrifying thing to know what went down. You know, according to the reporting, the guy walks into the classroom and just announced to everybody, "You're going to die today," and took them all out. I mean, that's just horrifying.
He should have never got in the building.
Mm-mm. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Keep the doors locked. Only let people in one door and vet them at that door. And like I said, bulletproof glass for that person who's sitting in there checking IDs when people come to that door and asking, "Why are you here? What's your purpose?"
Alan, as former law enforcement, how do you feel about having retired police officers or military veterans guarding those schools?
Oh, I don't see any problem with it. Anybody who's had training, you know, training is something that can be ongoing, even for retired people. If you can't afford to put your deputies or your police officers in a school in a city or a county, then these people have got experience. They can be an SRO. You know, I mean, it requires somebody who's vigilant. I mean, you can't be decrepitly old, but you definitely can be a person of some retirement age who could fill those positions if the county or the city can't afford a school resource officer.
All right, Alan, that's great information for us. Appreciate you calling in today. Thanks for listening to us over at WDUN. All right, Ron and Harry, hang tight, guys. We're running up against the top of the hour here. But Ron wants to raise a point about video games and, you know, why aren't people going after the video games? I mean, if you're going to go after the gun manufacturers, I mean, that's a great point. So hang tight, guys. We're going to get to your calls. Coming up, Matt Staver from Liberty Counsel has been one of the first people sounding the alarms about the World Health Organization. And folks, American sovereignty is in the crosshairs. I mean, there's no other way to say it than that. American sovereignty is in the crosshairs thanks to President Biden. So we're going to talk to Matt Staver about the very latest on the surrender of our sovereignty to the World Health Organization. Mike Huckabee is going to be here. You folks in Georgia, what the heck? I mean, that was a blowout win by Governor Brian Kemp. By the way, not just Kemp, but also Raffensperger, the Secretary of State, were Georgia voters sending a message to President Trump and the rest of the nation. 844-747-8868. We're going to talk to Governor Mike Huckabee. Martha Zoller from WDUN is going to be here. Folks, we're just getting started. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
My name is Joanne. This is my father.
I know what's happening with my body. I won't be able to take care of myself.
When the time comes to get more support for your parents, CARE can help you find qualified caregivers nearby.
What would help me is if there could be somebody there that could check in on you.
I realize I have to do it.
The best decisions are made with care. Find help for your mom or dad at care.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh yeah.
The more I read about what the World Health Organization is up to with this bizarre treaty that the United States is about to engage in, the more disturbed I become. This is just unbelievable. The World Health Organization, and by the way, welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, everybody. Good to have you with us today. The World Health Organization recently announced plans for an international pandemic treaty. Now, a part of this treaty is tied to a digital passport and a digital ID system. This is a very dangerous piece of legislation. It would basically shift governing authority, now reserved to, for example, Washington, D.C., to the World Health Organization during a pandemic. And what's even more disturbing is that the World Health Organization is the one that gets to determine what is and what is not a pandemic. Now, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're honored to have with us Matt Staver from Liberty Council. Matt was one of the first to alert people that this was coming down the pike. Matt, good to have you back with us.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
So, Matt, right out of the gate, I want you to address the so-called fact checkers out there, because they're saying that the United States is not backing a WHO takeover of national health policies. What say you?
Well, all you have to do is read the 2005 original international health regulations that George W. Bush got us into, and then more particularly the Biden amendments that he has snuck by not only Congress but by the American public. He gave it to the UN WHO in January, bypassing notification of Congress, and then it was discovered by a researcher in April. He publicized it briefly on May the 6th, but only for 24 hours. You had to sign up within that time frame in order to comment, but only if you're a specific person of a recognized minority group. So obviously it is a ruse. He wants to give more power to the WHO. He's not been faring well in the American courts with his mandates. Most of them have been struck down by the courts, except for one. And so he wants to now transfer all of that power to the WHO. And this is to a single individual, the Director General, who would have unilateral authority to declare a public health emergency, even if there was not a real public health emergency. Imagine that. He has unilateral authority to just say this is a public health emergency, even if it's not a real public health emergency, even if the science and facts are contradictory.
And Matt, let me jump in here. And you do a great job of laying all of this out in this essay, The Dark History of WHO, over at lc.org. That's lc.org. You point out, and it's a great point, that this is about health emergencies, and health emergencies do include climate change, gender identity, abortion access, among others.
And the Yeah, and a reason why we say that is because that's part of Biden's amendment. It actually includes environmental and even animal rights, and the WHO's already come out recently and stated that climate change is a public health emergency. So they've already stated that, and these amendments give the WHO the ability not only to look at viruses and disease, but also public health with respect to climate change. So they could then impose on the United States and the other 193 countries plus the United States its own rules with regards to carbon emissions, which obviously it also includes certain special interest groups that are specifically recognized that they have the opportunity to include them as special status. One of those that already have the special status is, guess who, Bill Gates, who's pushing the climate change and also the vaccines and depopulation. He is the single largest funder of the WHO. In January of 2021 to September, just in those 9 months, he gave $750 million to the WHO. You think the WHO's not going to listen to what he says? Certainly they are. They do. And they also listen to China. The WHO was responsible for covering up the origin of the Wuhan virus, saying it came from a wet market rather than the Wuhan lab. So this is very broad. What about abortion access with Roe v. Wade being overturned, hopefully in the near future, with the release of this opinion? And now there's this argument that says, well, you need to have more access to abortion because it's a public health issue. The WHO could jump in there as well. Same thing for gender identity, boys and girls sports, or the surgeries to have plastic surgery and hormones for LGBTQ agenda. All of that would be under the WHO's amazing, incredible authority to dictate globally. Now, some of the fact checkers say, well, how's the WHO going to enforce this? Well, let's just take an example. Look at Florida back in 2020. It was wide open in August, September of 2020. New York didn't like it, so New York imposed travel restrictions on Floridians, 14-day quarantine. Well, what if that happened again and the WHO's now in charge and the WHO doesn't like Florida or South Dakota being open? Well, the WHO could pressure the United States, and certainly under Biden they would have an ally. But certainly in addition to Biden, they also have other governors that could impose those kinds of restrictions. Moreover, the WHO can restrict borders under this particular amendment proposal.
In the United States, they could do this.
Outside of the United States, they could do that. So, for example, travel outside of the United States, they could impose border restrictions on whether we could leave or come in. People could come into the United States. They also can restrict the food distribution. One of the areas of the new powers would be authority over airline and shipping, including food distribution and other supplies, so they could affect trade coming and going, the food supply chain, travel on airlines, travel through the shipping industry. They have an incredible amount of power, not the least of which is to be able to haul the United States before the world court for fines and other kinds of penalties.
It's just unbelievable, folks, but it's all there in writing. Matt Staver on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Matt, I know that you, last time you were on, you told our listeners to start making phone calls to Capitol Hill. Can you give us an update? What are you hearing from friends in Congress?
Well, when we first started messaging, they didn't even know about this, not surprisingly, because Biden tried to hide it. But this week, we've had some movement in several fronts, both domestically and internationally. The Freedom Caucus has now come out with a statement opposing these amendments. Some senators like Lankford have come out with opposition. Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida has come out with a specific opposition. If you look at internationally, the Brazilian president just yesterday came out with a very strong rebuke of these amendments, as has some African nations. So right now, we're gaining some momentum to stop these. But here's the other thing, Todd. Not only are we talking about these amendments, this is part one of a two-part process. In August 1, they're meeting on a new treaty, and they want to roll out this new treaty, which will even give more power to the WHO. So they want to get these amendments passed so they can shorten the timeline and speed up things and then gain more control. Then they want to get more control after they have their meeting coming this August 1.
It's fascinating. And this digital passport and ID system is a little creepy. It kind of reminds me of the New Testament book of Revelation.
Well, it does. You know, and in fact, in March, the WHO launched this global vaccination passport, this digital passport with your health and your COVID and all the other information that would be necessary for travel and other kinds of shopping and movement within your own country. And as a result of that, two continents already have jumped on board. So we're already talking about 2 billion people on the planet under this potential vaccine passport that the WHO is launching. So you can bet if the WHO gets more power through these amendments and then later through another treaty, they will impose this global vaccination passport, which means you got to show it on your QR code or whatever kind of system you have in order to shop, dine, travel about domestically or internationally.
So, Matt, real quick, where are we at now? Is there still an opportunity for us to stop this from happening?
Yes, there is. In fact, we have a website, lc.org/WHO, W-H-O, that you can contact your members of Congress, both House and Senate, and make sure that they do everything in their power to stop this. The WHO continues to meet for its annual meeting up through this Saturday. So we have, including today, 4 more days of meetings. We need to stop it there. Then we also need to stop the treaty that's coming up later this summer. But if, for the worst-case scenario, they actually adopt these amendments, we have 6 months to opt out. And that's going to be a harder lift because once you're in, it's going to be harder to get out. We don't want to get in, so we need to stop the amendments right now. We have until Saturday to do it. And then if we can stop the amendments, we have to be on guard for the next phase, and that is their bigger treaty that will give them even more power. And that's really where they're going.
All right, great stuff. Matt, appreciate the hard work you've put into all of this. Folks, lc.org if you want to get more information. Matt, thank you.
Thank you, my pleasure.
All right, just unbelievable. It does sort of remind me of that whole Mark of the Beast thing. Very, very New Testament-y, if you ask me. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Folks, I don't have to tell you America is facing huge challenges, soaring inflation, alarming crime rates, what's happening at our southern border, radical ideas being forced on our children, and that's why you need to join an organization that loves America. I'm talking about AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, America's conservative 50-plus organization. Now, my friends at AMAC are action-oriented. They fight every day to represent your interest on Capitol Hill with the AMAC advocacy team. Join today. Go to amac.us/starnes, and you're going to get some incredible benefits like discounts on travel, cell phones, and restaurants, all while fighting to preserve America and the causes we care about. $16 a year, everybody. $16. You can join forces with AMAC and 2.3 million Americans who share our values. I am a proud member of AMAC. You can be one, too. Just go to amac.us/starnes and join today.
My name is Joanne. This is my father.
I know what's happening with my body. I won't be able to take care of myself.
When the time comes to get more support for your parents, CARE can help you find qualified caregivers nearby.
What would help me is if there could be somebody there that could check in on you.
I realize I have to do it.
The best decisions are made with CARE. Find help for your mom or dad at care.com.
All right, coming up, we're going to check in with our friend Governor Mike Huckabee. Big primary day in several states, and it was rough going for President Trump's guys in Georgia, except for Herschel Walker and MTG, and they just they hit home runs, massive landslides for both of those candidates. But I've never seen anything quite like what just happened with Brian Kemp. What he won by somewhat 50 points. Congressman Jody Heiss went down, a good friend of this program. I was really surprised by that race, which was not really all that close. Jody Heiss losing to Raffensperger for Secretary of State. And so I have a question for you, Georgia, and I'm really fascinated to hear from our Georgia listeners. Why do you think those two guys won? Why were they able to defeat Trump's candidates, being Jody Heiss and David Perdue? Was this a message that Georgia voters were trying to send to the rest of the nation, that it's time to move on past whatever happened in the 2020 election with the steal. 844-747-8868. I'm curious. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Maine. Ron on the line, WLOB, wants to talk about those video games. Hey, Ron, what's up?
Good afternoon, Todd. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
You're always so quick to go after the gun makers, the NRA, but the video games, they are violent. We go from duck hunt video games to sniper games. Is it because of where they're made, why they don't call them out?
Great question there, Ron. They've got a pretty powerful industry and lobbyist, and I think the easy thing is for people to jump on the gun bandwagon. Got to get the guns. But to your point, Ron, I mean, my question would be, okay, video games, music, entertainment, the culture, how much does that play into all of this? How much does this factor into it all?
I think it factors a lot into it. Myself, personally, there's a lot of this stuff around that wasn't around in our day. We used to go to school with guns on our racks of our pickups and go hunting after.
Yeah, I remember that. You know,
nobody, we didn't have to worry about that at all.
You know, when I was growing up, Ron, the opening of deer season was actually a holiday for our school. So because, you know, a lot of the kids like to go hunting with their dads or, you know, their uncles or whatever. So, all right, Ron, that's an interesting point. And I know I'm fairly sure some of our audience will want to weigh in on that. But Ron wants to know, well, what about the video games? Do those have any sort of an influence in the makings of these wannabe monsters? I mean, there are plenty of folks out there. And Ron, thanks for the call. There are plenty of folks out there who play these video games. And, you know, they don't go out there and shoot up schools. Let's go to Randy in Georgia, WDUN. Randy, what in the world happened last night in this election?
This was predictable. And I'll tell you this, Kemp, we knew Governor Kemp was going to win because even though he didn't like, or Trump didn't like, that, you know, he didn't stand up with him on January 6th, we Trump supporters voted for Kemp in Georgia because he's done very well by them. And Perdue could not even beat Warnock last time. He's a politician. That's why we didn't vote for him. And so, yeah, this was predictable. Yeah, it was a great margin. But I'll tell you who I wish had won was Latham Sadler. I think that guy is so qualified, and we got to meet him up close and personal. And, yeah, he's going to be a new guy to watch for. He's a really good guy.
Were you surprised that Jody Heiss went down in defeat?
To be honest with you, and I'm ashamed of myself, I wasn't really up to date on that.
You know, it's interesting. I was looking at the map, and it was clear that outside of his congressional district, he didn't have much name recognition. And it was because he won the areas where he was known. It was the rest of the state that did him in. But I was surprised that Raffensperger was able to survive, especially since Trump directed most of his wrath at Raffensperger, your Secretary of State. So,
and I'll tell you what, if you ever look up Latham Sadler, he worked for Trump. He was a great guy, did a great job for him. And, you know, he's a vet. I think he was a Navy SEAL something like, he spoke Farsi the whole nine yards. And this guy was so good, I'm surprised Trump didn't support him.
All right, well, Randy, I'm sure a lot of folks are disappointed there. Randy, appreciate the call. Let's go to Jeff, listening to us on WDUN. All right, Jeff, what say you?
Okay. I was thought about this today, and it came to me that Herschel Walker is such a big name, and everybody loves this guy, that he drew a ton of Democrat voters to vote Republican just for him, okay? And what they did, since they recognized, you know, Kemp and Raffensperger name, they voted for them also, and that took Jody Heiss out.
So you think this was sort of an Operation Chaos on the Democrat side, that they all went and voted in the Republicans?
Correct. It was Operation Chaos in reverse.
Interesting. You know, I asked Matt Towery about that a couple of days ago, the pollster. And, you know, Towery said he didn't think that was going to have any sort of an impact. But Towery also said that he thought that Senate race was going to go to a runoff, and it wasn't anywhere close to that.
No, Herschel, I'm telling you what, I think That's what happened.
Yeah, that was brutal. It was huge. Jeff, got to run for the news break here. Good call. Folks, again, it's just fascinating to see the numbers there. That's very unusual, especially when Trump is involved. By the way, if you're keeping tabs, 100-6. 100 endorsements, 1-6 lost. Not too bad, Mr. President. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
We all know someone who's all work and no chill. Trust me, that used to be me. But then I found Galaxy Z Fold 4, which allows me to do more things at once. Ah, much better. Now I can take video calls from my phone and use it to take notes at the same time.
Wait, are you at the spa?
Or check my shopping list while ordering more scented candles and face masks on the foldable, expansive screen. Don't take your to-do list one line at a time. Multitask so you can relax.
Click the banner to get your Galaxy Z Fold 4.
What's fascinating about yesterday's primaries, the person who actually had the best night of all, and it was not in the state of Georgia, it was not in the state of Alabama, it was actually in Arkansas, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, getting 83.2% of the vote in her primary. I mean, that is a crushing defeat and a massive win. Nearly 300,000 votes cast for her, and that's, when you look at the Democrat side, barely 80,000 people voted on the Democrat side. In other words, you're looking at the next governor of Georgia, or governor of Arkansas. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now. Got to be a proud dad, the former governor of Arkansas himself, Mike Huckabee. Hey, Governor, good to have you with us.
Todd, it was a great night. You know, she squeaked by with just a bare margin, getting just over 83% of the vote, which is amazing in itself. But here's the big number, I think, that was the takeaway. If you take all the votes that voted for governor in the Democrat and Republican primary combined, everyone, there were like six candidates on the Democrat side, two on the Republican, Sarah got 65% of all votes cast for both primaries. I would just say that bodes very well for November for the young lady.
I'm with you right there, Governor. And what do you attribute the win to? What's on the minds of Arkansas voters?
You mean other than the brilliance of her father? Is there something other than that maybe that I should mention? Of course there is. Actually, I think she won that in spite of her dad. I would say that people know who she is, and any attempt to paint her as something else fell flat. In fact, it backfired spectacularly. Anyone trying to say that Sarah was a rhino, Republican in name only, was laughable. She is one of the most pro-life, conservative young ladies the country knows, and people know that about her. She's been articulating that message for the past 20 years in the public square. She's been at every level of the microphone, from local to international. So I think that part of it is they knew her, they trusted her, but also the message that she's been giving in her campaign is resonating. She's talking about issues that matter to people around the dinner table, how much they're going to make on their job, can they pay for gasoline, what about groceries, will their kids be safe at school and get a good education, not an indoctrination to left-wing nonsense and wokeness. And so people realize that here's someone who understands the issues, who can articulate them, but she has the, I guess, the fierceness of a tiger, but the tenderness of a mom.
Oh, I like that. That's a good line. I was looking at Georgia, and speaking of the rhino label, and this kind of drives me bonkers, because you're right. I mean, Sarah's credentials are pretty impeccable. David Perdue yesterday on this radio program actually called, and I asked him, I had to go back and ask him if I was hearing him correctly. He actually said that Mike Pence is a rhino. And this guy is, you know, an evangelical Christian, pro-life. I mean, he checks every single box. I just don't get that.
Well, I love David Perdue. He is a good personal friend.
Oh, yeah.
I wish it hadn't turned out like that for him to end his political career like that. I wish he was still in the Senate. Brian Kemp has done a good job. There was no reason to throw Brian Kemp out of the governor's office because people knew that he had stood for them. He had led well during the pandemic. And so there really wasn't a compelling reason to say, hey, let's get rid of a guy who's doing a good job for us. That was a tough one. But here's the bigger problem I have when people start tossing the term rhino. Now, if you're talking about a Republican that loves taxes, that hates the Second Amendment, that doesn't believe in life and believes in abortion and wants to fund it with public dollars and doesn't believe in a strong national defense and who thinks government ought to be at the federal level, not the local level, okay, that might be a rhino. But when someone says this individual is a rhino, my first question is, who died and left you in charge to decide who the rhinos are? What an arrogant position to take, whether it's me or someone else, to say, I personally get to set the standards of who the real Republicans are and who the phony ones are. And I find that incredibly offensive. Speak your message, speak it with conviction. The voters will sort out who's the most conservative or the conservative most like me. It's not for me to tell them who that is. I got a lot of confidence, Todd, in the average voter in Arkansas and the rest of the country. They'll figure this out. Just tell them what you stand for and let them decide.
And I think that's exactly what the folks in Georgia did. And I can't tell you how many people would call up and say, you know what, we love President Trump, but on this one, we're going with Governor Kemp. And I will say this, I was somewhat surprised that Raffensperger was able to survive. Jody Heiss is a longtime friend and a great guy. That was a tough loss for him. But ultimately, the voters had their say. And Governor, the question now, do you think that the voters in Georgia and elsewhere are going to get together as Republicans, make up, and let's focus on the big issue, which is taking back the House and the Senate?
Well, they have to, because they've got Raphael Warnock, who's one of the most liberal members of the Senate. I just can't imagine a person standing in a pulpit of a church and saying that he believes abortion is a wonderful thing, and yet he does that. He's got to go home. The other big issue is, Georgians need to end the career of Stacey Abrams in her ambition to be something. She still has not conceded the election of 2018.
Right.
I never have understood why Democrats in the media thought that it was okay for her to question and even defy the election results of her governor's race in 2018, but God forbid Donald Trump question anything about 2020. And so Stacey Abrams has been whining this Jim Crow nonsense for so long. The truth is more people, more minorities in Georgia voted, almost quadruple, than ever in the history of the state. So can we just ask Stacey to put a sock in it and quit whining about how that there's voter suppression? Because clearly there is not voter suppression. It's easy to vote in Georgia. If she wants to make it easier to vote somewhere, go to Joe Biden's home state of Delaware. It's a lot harder to vote there than it is in Georgia. And I think it's time for people to quit talking this Jim Crow nonsense, including Joe Biden needs to stop it.
Speaking of Joe Biden, look, I was watching his address to the nation last night, and for the first couple of minutes, I thought, wow, this is really powerful and compelling, and he had me. And then Mean Joe turns on, and he's yelling about, you know, gun rights or taking guns away, and hunters and deer wearing Kevlar. The idea that the Democrats are playing politics, I'm not surprised, but it's just downright despicable.
It's very disconcerting to me that before the bodies of those children are even removed from the crime scene, you have people on the floor of the Senate and in the White House already deciding that this issue is about the weapon and not the person who used it. And they're going to use the same old arguments that they've used when if simply changing a law would have worked. It's already illegal to murder someone. It's illegal to take a gun into a school and fire and to shoot at police officers. So what law are you going to pass? And I tell people, look, I'm open. If you can tell me how we can prevent any child from ever being murdered like that again, man, I want to hear it. But don't just give me these political slogans and bumper strip ideas. Give me some concrete evidence. Show me the numbers, the facts. Get me data that will tell me that if we pass new laws, that somehow it really will make a school safer and children much less vulnerable to these kind of horrific and just absolutely gut-wrenching attacks.
And Governor, to your point earlier, to bring back in this whole rhino business, this is when that issue becomes very important, because God forbid we do put Republicans up in the United States Senate who are, in fact, pro-gun control. It could be a very different story, and it could have some lasting impacts on this country and our rights under the Second Amendment.
And that's what we have to be concerned about. And if the Second Amendment is under attack and can be rewritten for the left-wing woke crowd, then so can the First Amendment.
Yeah.
And we can lose freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of giving our grievances to the government without being arrested. We've already seen that with the School Board Association trying to push the Justice Department to label anyone showing up at a school board meeting and disagreeing with the school board as being a terrorist. My gosh, that violates the basic tenet of the First Amendment, that I can address my grievances about the government to the government, and the government can't stop me from doing that. But you've got people now on the left who would just absolutely shred the First Amendment, and I promise they would shred the Second as well. And I think Joe Biden is in the front of that parade with the baton waving it up and down.
All right, Governor, what's coming up this weekend on the big TV show?
Okay, I'm going to tell you first about our musical guest, because I'm telling you, we taped the show the other night because it's Memorial Day weekend. We've got Peter Rivera from the band Rare Earth, and it's magic. It's absolutely magic. And so if anyone grew up in the era of the 60s, 70s, and remember the phenomenal music of Rare Earth, don't miss it. Governor Tate Reeves of Mississippi is with us. We'll talk about their abortion case that is the one that bubbled up to the Supreme Court and could be decided any time. And, gosh, I love Tate Reeves for the leadership he's brought. And this Mississippi case could well be the catalyst to end the nightmare of abortion on demand as we know it from the federal level. Still go back to the states, but certainly change the whole future of the issue.
All right. It's going to be a great weekend, folks. Got to catch Huckabee. And Governor, again, congratulations for the great win yesterday in Arkansas.
Thank you, Todd. God bless. And let's remember our veterans this weekend and our heroes that left it all on the battlefield and gave us this great country.
Well said. Well said. Governor Mike Huckabee, everybody. And we have links to the governor's pages over on toddstarns.com. All right. Before we go to break, I'm going to play this audio. It's a little long, but you're going to love this. Kellyanne Conway going on The View and going at it with Alyssa Farah Griffin. Now, Alyssa Farah is one of the former Trump staffers who went woke and is now a never Trumper. Let's take a listen. This is great.
First, Kellyanne, I do want to acknowledge something you said last segment. I remember flying on Air Force One in October of 2020, and two very senior advisors to the president, Dave Bossie and Corey Lewandowski, turned to me and said, we would be winning this race if it was Kellyanne running the campaign. So I think that there's some real truth to the direction it went the second time around, and that perhaps you having a more senior role would have changed that. But I have to ask you something. We served together briefly in the White House my second time. I admired you the first time when I was working for Pence. You were very helpful to me.
What happened the second time?
Oh, the second time? No, I just meant I looked up to you. We were in more comparable roles. I was in more junior role the first time. I broke with the president ahead of January 6th when the big lie started being shared. I resigned in December 4th, and I spoke out after January 6th when I saw a violent mob assault the Capitol.
Is there a question in here?
Yes.
Okay.
How do you still defend him? Do you still think he could be a good president after he tried to overturn our democracy?
Okay, so I left 3 months before you did for my children. I have four of them. And I said, less drama, more mama, and that's exactly what I did. I think you stayed a whole month after the election that you were having a problem with. But that's
I wanted to help my junior staff get jobs.
That's
I stayed
good,
for three
I think
weeks
people should
after.
Know that, because I haven't seen you since you've changed. But I want to say this to you.
I didn't change. Just to be clear, I didn't change. I swore an oath to the Constitution.
You get to talk here every day.
I swore an oath to the Constitution, not to Donald Trump.
I know. But, Alyssa, I know that you've read it, as we all do. as we all did, but and I appreciate that. I think there was a lot wrong with the 2020 campaign, and I think in addition to that, afterwards, your former boss, Mark Meadows, who was a terrible chief of staff, did not match the moment for a global pandemic, a re-election campaign.
Neither did Donald Trump.
Protests after George Floyd's murder. He didn't match the moment at all, and didn't take advice from people.
But do you think Donald Trump matched the moment?
And then he allowed supplicant after sycophant after showman to come before the Resolute desk and promised the president that was the day they were going to find more votes in Arizona, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. I was on ABC, so I'll answer your question. Maybe you missed it. I was on ABC live on January 6th.
And
you're Stephanopoulos.
And I said,
people have to get out of the Capitol. What are you doing there? Why have you reached the Capitol? What is going on?
Okay, but you're still supporting Donald Trump now.
Live on January 6th. Alyssa, if you're saying that somehow you think we're supposed to think that you've seen the light and not just see your name in lights. That's not fair.
What do you mean? He's not the president.
Joe Biden.
But you're talking about maybe a second term. You've never denounced Donald Trump.
That's
when he incited a violent mob that attacked the U.S. Capitol.
I did that day.
Capitol.
First of all, I didn't.
But then you went right back
all,
to
no,
it.
Okay, so what we're going to do right now is we're going
to
move on because
do me a favor,
because we don't have as much time as we did. So answer the question. Do this.
I did like working with her.
I'm sorry, Kellyanne. Don't make. Go on.
I was on ABC News on January 6th.
Join.
People get the hell out of the Capitol.
Ask your question.
And I don't want the 74 million Biden voters.
This is unfortunate, but we're going to go if you can't let her do the question.
Wow, there you go. You know what I heard right there? I heard a wannabe. Somebody who's complaining about Donald Trump, but you know what? She wanted a paycheck, which is why she didn't leave. She didn't resign in protest. And Alyssa Farah stuck around because she wanted a paycheck. And now she's trying to make a dollar on national television by bashing Donald Trump every single day. There you go. You got to live with yourself. If you can sleep at night, more power to you. Got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
We all know someone who's all work and no chill. Trust me, that used to be me. But then I found Galaxy Z Fold 4, which allows me to do more things at once. Much better. Now I can take video calls from my phone and use it to take notes at the same time.
Wait, are you at the spa?
Or check my shopping list while ordering more scented candles and face masks on the foldable, expansive screen. Don't take your to-do list one line at a time. Multitask so you can relax.
Click the banner to get your Galaxy Z Fold 4.
All right. Now, Keith in Georgia, Diane in Georgia, hang tight. We're going to get to you after the top of the hour news here because we have a little bit of breaking news coming out of Texas. This is bizarre. So you've got the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, and they're having a big meeting, a big press conference. They're basically just giving people the latest information on what's happening down there. And all of a sudden, Beto O'Rourke, you remember Beto? Beto O'Rourke, who is running for governor, crashed the press conference, and he starts yelling at Governor Abbott, who's just trying to hold a press conference and trying to get information out to the general public about what went down. It's just unbelievable. Let's take a listen.
2916. And at this time, I will pass the mic to Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick.
Governor, I have to say something.
Excuse me.
Sit down.
You're out of line and an embarrassment.
Sit down.
I don't like this stuff.
The next shooting is right now, and you are doing nothing.
No, you need to get his ass out of here. This isn't the place to talk this over.
This is totally predictable when you...
Sir, you're out of line. Sir, you are out of line. Sir, you are out of line. Please leave this auditorium. I can't believe you're a sick son of a bitch that would come to a deal like this to make a political issue.
All right, so that's what happened, and it goes on for a little bit, but we got to take a break for the news. This is unbelievable, but I'm telling you, these Democrats, this is downright evil. Downright evil, what they're doing. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. Head over to the website, toddstearns.com. We've got the video. It's just unbelievable. We'll be right back, America.
Just because our parents are getting older doesn't mean they don't have lots to do. They might just need a little help. At Care.com, you'll find people who can take them to appointments and events, help pick up groceries and cook great meals. Whatever it is they like to do, the right caregiver can help. And since everyone at Care.com is background checked, you can be confident that you're getting support from someone you can trust. Find qualified, local senior caregivers for your parents at Care.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
All right, hello everybody, welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, hour three underway. By the way, we've got that Beto O'Rourke video posted over on our website, toddstearns.com. You got to see this. The guy just, it's just crazy. So we'll get to more of that in just a little while. We do have a fact-checking issue to share with you. Yesterday, President Biden, last night to be exact, President Biden said this.
The idea that an 18-year-old kid can walk into a gun store and buy two assault weapons is just wrong. What in God's name do you need an assault weapon for except to kill someone? Deer aren't running through the forest with Kevlar vests on, for God's sake. It's just sick.
Okay, so we ran that by our professional team of fact checkers here at the Todd Starnes radio program, and we can confirm to you that deer, in fact, do not wear Kevlar in the woods. Deer do not wear Kevlar in the woods. So there you go, in case any of you folks were wondering, that coming from our official fact checkers here at the Todd Starnes radio program. All right, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend Martha Zoller, a host over at WDUN, our great affiliate in Gainesville, Georgia. Martha, big night for you guys, and I'm curious, were there any surprises in the votes last night?
Yeah, I mean, of course, the early concession of David Perdue and him losing by 50 points, I mean, that was probably the biggest surprise of the night. Secondly, Brian Kemp got about 100,000 more votes than Herschel Walker. Herschel Walker was called early tonight. Brad Raffensperger won without a runoff. I mean, the list goes on, and it's still undecided on whether there's going to be a runoff in the lieutenant governor's race. But it looks like the, you know, about, if you count, if you take out the Democrats that crossed over to vote, that there's about a third of the Republican electorate that is still very influenced by the Trump endorsement. And then there's about two thirds that kind of like things the way they are.
I'm wondering, and I'm with you, that was a staggering defeat for David Perdue. I'm wondering, though, with the numbers, you know, Mark Towery told us that a lot of Democrats were probably going to switch over and vote for Kemp to stick it to Trump. And I wonder if that's the reason why there's a discrepancy in those numbers versus Herschel Walker.
You know, I don't know, because if you add up the total number, because there were six candidates in the Herschel Walker race, and while there were five candidates in the governor's race, four, the other two besides Perdue hardly got anything, like, you know, a couple thousand votes. But it's possible, and, you know, Matt has a good point there, but I do think that in general, it's the economy, stupid. You know what I mean? Georgia's economy is pretty good. So why rock the boat? I think people are feeling uncertain about what's happening federally, and so they think that, in general, the ship is being managed pretty well in Georgia.
You know what really surprised me? I thought Jody Heiss had a really good shot at the upset at the Secretary of State race, but when you look at the map, Martha, clear to me, he just didn't have name recognition outside of his district.
Yeah, he went off TV about 3 weeks ago because he figured, I think, that he'd done all he needed to do for name ID. He did carry the 10th district, which he represents, and it is the largest number of Republican primary voters are in the 10th district. But, you know, I think that Brad Raffensperger did a couple of things. First of all, he went anywhere that asked him to come and speak, regardless of whether they were friendly or not, ever since the 2020 election. And his pitch was, give me 12 minutes to explain my side of the story, and then I'll take questions until you're done. And he did that in community groups and GOP meetings and you name it, all around the state. Then, this is something I've been looking into that I can't quantify, but he hired and trained 100,000 poll workers to come in and help, along with local state election boards. And I got to imagine through that process, those people were going home and saying, yeah, I'm getting trained really well by the Secretary of State. That's not really something you can measure, but it was 100,000 people that were new to the Secretary of State process that are now working for the Secretary of State for the polling process. So anyway, I think that's something that might have had an impact there.
Martha, we've got a couple of callers from WDN of all places, and let's bring them in. Let's go first to Diane in Georgia. Diane, good to have you with us, and you're on the air with Martha Zoller.
Hi, Todd and Martha. It's good to hear from you. I listen to both of your shows regularly. One comment I have to make is that I had an older family member that was involved in small-town politics down in the southern part of Georgia for many years. And one of the things that he told me, and he said this over and over again, he said, well, what we'll do is what when they have the primary is we'll go and we'll vote for the weakest Republican, because we only have the one that's running on the Democrat ticket. We'll vote for the weakest Republican, and then come November, and we'll vote for him and get him in so that come November, he's going to lose. And he said, and I said, well, that's just not right. He said, why not? It's perfectly legal. And then I said, well, it's still not right. And he said, well, you folks, anybody that disagreed with him, he'd say, well, you folks just worry too much about this kind of stuff. And it used to make me so mad. But, you know, I've heard some of your own listeners say that if Governor Kemp won the primary, they would not vote for him come November. And, you know, we'll see how many of those crossover voters did that very thing that that family member was kind of poking at me about.
Martha, is that really a thing? Are there Republicans saying they're not going to support Kemp?
They were prior to the primary. I think that one thing Brian Kemp's going to get David Perdue to help him with is that group of people. But I think when it comes right down to it, Todd, even though they say that, do they really want Stacey Abrams as the governor? I think that's the decision they're going to have to make. And as far as like the crossover stuff, you remember when Rush Limbaugh did the Operation Chaos?
Oh, yeah.
Encouraging everybody to vote for Hillary Clinton because she was the weaker one of the two candidates. I think that sometimes we think that happens, and I do know that in the 9th district, it is typical for 7 to 10% of Democrats to cross over and vote in the Republican primary, because we are such a Republican district that if you don't vote in the Republican primary, a lot of times you can't vote for county commissioner, you can't vote for sheriff, you can't vote for these school board, these races that really do impact you. So that's not been unusual. And I know in DeKalb County, there's a lot of Republicans that will vote in the Democrat primary for the same reason. It's really hard to measure, but yes, I've heard that, but I don't know if that actually has ever been successful.
I think that you're going to have some diehard people out there doing that. Diane, appreciate the call.
Yeah, great call.
And Martha Yolen writes in on our live stream from Loganville, Georgia, and he said, Todd, neither got my vote. They were an embarrassment on their debate. I think the other two candidates for governor should have had a part in the debate. Candace Taylor won my vote, and she did pretty good. I mean, all things considered, South Georgia, not a lot of name recognition, and, you know, she turned out some good numbers last night.
Yeah, I had her on several times. She was in two of the debates, I believe. Might have only been one. I think there were only three debates. And, look, I voted for Brian Kemp, okay, but in the Secretary of State's race, I voted for David Belisle because I thought he had the best plan. If you went to his website, he had the best plan. But I think primaries are about voting for your conscience, who you believe in, not necessarily who you think's going to win in November. And then, if you're going to use the party process, then you should get behind whoever the party process produces.
Let's bring in Keith from Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Keith, you're on the air with Martha Zoller.
Yes, enjoying the show today.
Thank you.
I have a little morsel that I haven't heard anybody bring up. Everybody in the state of Georgia that's on the tax rolls 3 days or so before the election got a $250 check that was unannounced. It didn't make the news. People I know were surprised there's a $250 check. Some called to see if it was a mistake, but it was some type of an unannounced tax refund, state tax refund. And, of course, in the bottom right corner in big bold print, Brian Kemp. So, you know, that's curious on the timing, to say the least, 3 days before primary.
It wasn't unannounced. I mean, it went through the whole legislative process, and it was debated during the whole legislative session. What happened was this, we had a huge surplus. And the governor did what we always want Republicans to do, is he reduced the overall income tax rate, but then he said, we still have all this money left over. Mainly a lot of it had related to surpluses related to COVID money and things like that. So he gave a tax rebate to every family. It was $250 for single filers and $500 for married couples. And I don't think everybody got it because I haven't gotten mine yet, but they did start going out last week. The session ended April 4th. He signed it soon after that, but it was passed by the legislature. It wasn't something just done by, you know, the governor.
But the timing is suspicious.
Exactly.
But then again,
Martha, the timing, but don't we want Republicans, if we have a surplus, to give it back to the taxpayers to pay it?
Well, look, I think, Keith, I get where you're coming from here. I think this is the power that Brian Kemp had. He had a lot of power at his disposal as the governor, and he took full advantage of it. And I suspect David Perdue would have done the exact same thing if he had been in the same spot. All right, Keith, appreciate the call there. Martha, final thoughts here. Do you anticipate Trump backing Brian Kemp here, or is it going to come back to hurt Trump that he actually said Stacey Abrams would be better off with Stacey Abrams than Brian Kemp?
Well, 2 days ago, the governor was asked about his relationship with Trump, and he said, look, I'm not mad at Donald Trump. He's mad at me. I want anybody to help me beat Stacey Abrams. Then you have Herschel Walker winning the nomination, who is a longtime friend of both Donald Trump and Brian Kemp. So what a lot of us are hoping will happen is a kind of detente will be reached. I don't think the president is going to change the way he looks at what Brian Kemp did or did not do after the election. But I do think that I don't think he wants Georgia to go to Stacey Abrams, even though he says that. He says a lot of things sometimes that, he doesn't really mean. So I just think that eventually there might be a detente there, but I don't know if there'll ever be a friendship.
So broker a peace deal, sort of like Switzerland there. So
sort of like Switzerland. Right. Herschel right. Walker is uniquely qualified to do that.
No doubt about it. I mean, he really is. And they have a very longstanding friendship there. All right, Martha, great stuff, great insight. And wow, what a crazy political cycle. And it's just getting started.
Thank you, Todd.
All right. Thanks, Martha. Martha Zoller, everybody. Great talk show host. Smartest lady in Georgia when it comes to politics. I'm telling you, she knows her stuff. All right. We've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
As we get older, we start to notice our parents could use a little help. Help with grocery shopping, getting to appointments, and just keeping up with things around the house. For the times when we can't be there, Care.com makes it easy to find senior caregivers who live nearby and know just how to help. And since all caregivers at Care.com are background checked, you can be confident that your mom or dad is getting support from someone you can trust. Find senior caregivers for your parents at Care.com.
All right, one of the the very interesting features we have in our all-new app is the shout-out function. So here's how it works. You can actually leave a voicemail message to me, and we'll play it back on the radio show. So if you want to say something nice, not so nice, it's okay. You can go to our live show blog over at toddstearns.com. Just look for the block that says live, and you'll see the link to the app. Click on that link, and you can download our app. It's free of charge. And the benefit is you can listen to 24 hours of conservative talk radio no matter where you are in America. It's the KWAM app, and you'll hear my show noon to 3 Eastern. But you can, if you click on shout out, you'll see those three bars at the top. Click on shout out, and you can leave a recorded voicemail message, and we will play those back here on the program. It's a pretty neat deal. Let's go to the phones here. Mark from Florida at the Villages, America's friendliest hometown. Mark, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. You know, I support the Second Amendment strongly. You know, by putting weapons in the hands of 18-year-olds, never mind assault weapons, needs to be addressed now. There are many people with assault weapons who are responsible and use them for home defense or whatever other sport. But don't punish law-abiding citizens who are licensed and who've had them for years. Start doing more extensive background checks. Up the age of 21, start evaluating their mental stability in these checks and secure our schools. All the money they are given to illegals in Ukraine, and we can't secure our schools and protect them, put metal detectors in and put one or two people in there. Get some volunteers, ex-police officers, or somebody from the armed forces. You know, Biden keeps saying, I don't know why this keeps happening. I know why it's happening, because your ignorant administration is funneling money into the wrong area. That's what's happening. They need to, and I've been saying this, my brother's a criminologist, so I get, and he's pretty well known, so I get to talk to him and bounce things off of him. I didn't get to talk to him last night, but I will today. And we need the mental stability of these people that are getting these weapons. When you walk into, at 18 years old, and you're getting assault weapons, that's a problem. And another problem is they need to start securing these schools, as I just stated. You've got to put things in place. Oh, we had a fence. It's a 4-foot fence. You need to put more people in place and start focusing on our schools and protecting our kids.
Mark, the governor of Texas just a few moments ago laid it out. He said, there are real gun laws, and he put that in quotes, there are real gun laws in Chicago, there are real gun laws in New York, there are real gun laws in California, but there are more people shot every weekend in Chicago than in public schools in Texas. And the governor's got a great point there. When you look at Memphis, Tennessee, there are upwards of 10, 15 people every weekend that are shot. Many of those people die. I mean, and again, you want to talk about gun laws. What we need to be talking about is, again, who missed the red flags here? Clearly, the police had been summoned to the kid's house a number of times. Why was that not in any sort of documented record? So this kid could not have gone out there and purchased a gun. That would be my question.
No, I totally agree. They need, you know, my brother's in California, and you know, this is one of his big topics. This is what he talks about. This is what he studies and teaches. And the thing is, if you can't monitor these kids and their stability and what's going on, if there's signs in the schools, you need to say, listen, there's students, you know, showing signs of a problem. This is happening. That's happening. And then address it. But the thing they need to do is lock down the schools from when you get in there to when you leave. And as one of your previous callers stated, he was in law enforcement, one way in, one way out.
That's it.
Mark, do not allow that to happen.
Got to run, my friend. Good hearing from you. And folks, we're talking solutions here. What is the answer? How do we secure our schools? 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Hey, we've got Mark Hancock from Trail Life USA. He's coming up next. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
because our parents are getting older doesn't mean they don't have lots to do. They might just need a little help. At Care.com, you'll find people who can take them to appointments and events, help pick up groceries and cook great meals. Whatever it is they like to do, the right caregiver can help. And since everyone at Care.com is background checked, you can be confident that you're getting support from someone you can trust. Find qualified local senior caregivers for your parents at Care.com.
All right, a couple of Republicans have announced they're pulling out of this NRA convention. They're meeting this week in Houston. And we're getting word. By the way, President Trump says he's still going. He'll be addressing the delegates there at the NRA convention. Senator John Cornyn from Texas says he will no longer attend the NRA gathering. And Congressman Dan Crenshaw, his office says he will not be attending the NRA convention either. So there you go. Hang tight if you're on the phones. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have with us our good friend Mark Hancock, the CEO of Trail Life USA. Mark, hope you're doing well today.
Hey, Todd, I am doing well. So great to hear from you.
You know, Mark, we've been going through and analyzing the background of this shooter. And one of the things that really struck me early on is the fact that this was clearly a bad home situation. No dad in the picture. Mom, an alleged drug addict, the kid living with his grandma. What does this tell you as you're getting this information?
Of course, I would say, you know, it's a great tragedy. You know, we're all so saddened by it. I mean, it's unthinkable. It just takes your breath away when these sorts of things happen. But the way they were going about trying to solve these issues, we really need to get to the core of it. You know, the last 56 shootings, only 18% of the shooters had a stable home life, and the others didn't have a father in the house. You know, that's 82% of these shooters didn't have a dad-like figure in the house. Maybe there's something in that. Maybe that's what we need to do, is make sure that boys have a dad or a dad-like, somebody who's showing them how to be a responsible member of our society.
And yet society will tell you that there's really no need to have a dad in the picture.
Yeah, and that's really unfortunate because, you know, if you're going to follow the science, if you're going to look at the numbers, it's telling you the opposite. I mean, where there is a father and a mother present in a household, there are so many things that are everything from a poverty level to education level to lower teen pregnancies to lower drug abuse to lower suicide. That's the magic, is that mom and that dad in that household making sure that those kids have what it is that they need to succeed. You know, 72% of public school teachers are female, and one in four houses with a boy, there's not a dad present. So a lot of these boys, all they have as leaders in their life is women. So they don't have an example of what someone like them looks like as a leader. And we've got to do something about that. That's why in Trail Life we encourage men, listen, if you don't have a son in the program, get into the program and find a boy who doesn't have a dad and come alongside him. Give him what it is that he needs to be a successful, godly man.
And let's talk about that because, again, this is a positive action point. People can actually do something here. I want you to give our folks the elevator pitch on Trail Life USA and what you guys are doing.
Sure. Trail Life USA is an adventure character leadership organization for boys from kindergarten through 17 years of age. We're in all 50 states, have over 900 churches that have Trail Life USA troops. We have about 40,000 members across the country, and they're doing what you would expect in an outdoor boys organization. We have uniforms and handbooks, camping and hiking and whitewater rafting and all that, but we do it in a Christ-centered atmosphere. We're not an outdoor organization having a Christian experience. We are, at our core, a biblically conservative Christian organization that uses the outdoors to grow boys into godly men, and it's working, Todd, all over the country.
No, it is, and the numbers and the people that are joining Trail Life USA is just phenomenal, and moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, you know, if you have a son, grandson, this is the kind of organization that you want him to be a part of, and it has our full endorsement here on this program. You know, Mark, I want to go back to this idea of a uniquely masculine environment because the Boy Scouts now drop the boy. They're just scouts. Why is it important for boys to have that uniquely masculine environment in scouting?
Well, you have to start with the science that tells us that boys and girls are different. And I know that's not popular to say in our society today. You know, you could get stoned in some parts of this country. But that's just the truth. Boys and girls are different. Any engaged parent knows that. Most teachers know that boys and girls are different. So boys need programs that are aimed at their strength so that they can succeed. You know, we try to get boys into reading way too early when their brains aren't ready yet. Their brains develop more slowly. So we have set them up to be behind from the beginning academically. And now they are behind girls in every single academic category. There are fewer boys and girls going to college, getting master's degrees, doctoral degrees, bachelor's degrees. You know, the quickest rising suicide rate right now is boys from 10 to 14 years of age. And that's just tragic because we're not paying attention to them. You know, we love encouraging girls, and girls need to be encouraged. But it just seems like it's not popular to encourage boys to recognize their strengths. And when you look at our history, it's winning and focused men who have helped societies to advance over the years. And we have to get back to recognizing the power of boyhood. It's not like it's some kind of social disease that needs to be eradicated. There's something in a boy that, if developed properly through winning and focused men who are leading them, that boy becomes a winning and a focused man.
All right, Mark Hancock on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line from Trail Life USA. Mark, real quick here. I mean, we're seeing the narrative already being spewed out of our TVs, and it started last night, that the solution to all of this is gun control. What say you?
Tom, we're smarter than that, and I think we see right through that. That the solution to this is looking at boys and how it is that we're welcoming them into our culture, the way that we're weakening them, the way that we're discounting them, the way that we're removing them from opportunities for success, the way that we're stacking things against them succeeding. That's where this problem is, purposeless young men, and we've got to engage them.
Well said. Mark, where can people go? They want to get information on maybe starting a Trail Life USA chapter or finding one.
Okay. TrailLifeUSA.com. TrailLifeUSA.com. Two L's in the middle. And there's a, I think it's a Connect tab. And you can find, there's a map of the United States. You put in your zip code and it'll show you troops that are nearby. If there's not one nearby, there's a tab there that says start a troop, and it shows you how you get a troop up and running in your church.
Love it. All right, Mark, great insight, great information. We really appreciate you coming on the program today.
Thank you, Todd. God bless.
All right. That is Mark Hancock, Trail Life USA. Get this statistic here, folks. This is from a 2016 study by Dr. Peter Langman. And he found that out of a sample of 56 of the school shooters, only 10 grew up in a stable home with a mom and a dad. 82% either grew up in a dysfunctional family or without their parents together. I mean, there you go. I think Mark is onto something here. All right, let's go to the phones. 844-747-8868. Joe in North Carolina, WSIC, our great affiliate there. Hey, Joe, what's going on?
Good afternoon, Todd. The reason I was calling, you've had a few callers call in indicating that 18-year-olds should not be able to purchase firearms. But we encourage kids to go into the military after high school, and the firearms they get are a heck of a lot more powerful than the ones that they can purchase from a gun store.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great point you raised, Joe.
There are plenty of families in rural areas where the kids start shooting and hunting when they're 6 and 7 years old.
Again, as tragic as this was, and this was a horrifying, horrifying tragedy, the governor of Texas brings up a very good point. More people are killed on a weekend in Chicago with handguns. So, I mean, a death is a death, and they're all tragic, and we should mourn them all. But the reality is they've got some of the toughest laws on the books regarding guns in Chicago. And they've got probably one of the biggest problems of violence in the entire country.
Yeah, the gentleman you just had on the Patriot line indicated the lack of fatherhood in the household. And that I think, is a tremendously important factor. And unfortunately, the government does not encourage that. And unfortunately, we're paying the price for it.
All right, Joe, it is a great It's a great point and a great thought. God bless you. Thanks for listening. Oh, by the way, Beto has been ushered out by police. So he had an armed escort out of the building there. What a mess. And now he's raising money for his political campaign based on what just happened. All right, let's go to North Carolina. Jeff on the talk station. Jeff, what say you, sir?
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Good afternoon.
I'm looking forward to you, as well as everyone with a voice, to call out our politicians, including those that we favor, like Abbott of Texas. The answer is there. Everyone wants to act confused about what we can do with it, but no one can get into his office to shoot him. No one can get into my courthouse to shoot anyone in the courthouse. My judges are safe. My legislators are safe. Our federal employees are safe. But everyone acts like it's a mystery when it comes to a school. Now, those people also, by larger percentages, do not send their children to public school. It's not the gun that has caused the problem. It's the access to the school, and it's a problem we fixed in every other sector of society, right down to our homes, but we don't do that for our children. Why do we let everyone have a pass when they raise their hand and say, take our guns, instead of giving them the answer and demanding they do something about it?
Yeah, Jeff, I mean, this is a great point. I mean, even our church houses, many churches now have security teams, whether professional or volunteer or a mix of both, to keep people safe in church. And the reason why is because, I mean, going back to the 1990s, there were some high-profile attacks on houses of worship. And people realized, hey, wait a second, those churches can be, and they were, soft targets. And so that's where you've got all these security teams. And to your point, we haven't done that with schools.
And I do have a question for you, Todd.
All right, ask your question.
Has there been a school shooting in Chicago? Because everyone wants to talk about gun laws in Chicago and how strict their laws are and how many deaths they have. Have any of them been in schools?
Not to my knowledge. Most of them have been out on the street.
So what correlation does that have for someone like Texas, the governor, who I'm a fan of, to keep wanting to point out to us how many people die in Chicago every time something happens and their gun laws? They're at least not killing our children. Well, not in school anyway.
Well, I would contend, yeah, and I'll have to take a look at the numbers, but a lot of kids are getting shot and killed on the streets of Chicago. And the point he was making is more laws on the books is not going to work. That's the point he was trying to make, Jeff. All right, got to run here, sir. Got to run. Appreciate it. Folks, got to take a break. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Ever since I got the new Galaxy Z Flip 4, I've been learning all these new tricks with my dog, Finn. Like how to take the best selfies at the park. I just set my phone down, put it in flex mode, and capture hands-free pics from multiple angles.
Aww.
Or how to capture our training sessions for his followers. I simply wave my hand to start recording video. Good boy! Plus, the Z Flip 4 is compact and fits perfectly in my pocket.
Wow. Click the banner to get your Galaxy Z Flip 4.
Excuse me.
Sit down.
You're out of line and an embarrassment.
Hey, sit down.
Don't
like this stuff.
The next shooting is right now, and you are doing nothing.
No, you need to get his ass out of here. This isn't the place to talk this over.
This is totally predictable. When you,
sir, you're out of line. Sir, you are out of line. Sir, you are out of line. Please leave this auditorium.
Let me jump in here. That the voice you're hearing is Don McLaughlin. He's the mayor of Uvalde, Texas. And the Beto O'Rourke, who is running for governor, literally interrupted the press conference, the governor's press conference. I mean, they're trying to get this important information out to the community, and Beto's making a complete jerk of himself. So anyway, good for you, Mr. Mayor, for calling him out. Police were summoned, and O'Rourke was physically escorted out of the room. And now Beto is raising money. By the way, his name is Robert Francis. He's a fake Mexican. So it's Bobby Francis. He's Irish. Anyway, he was escorted out of the room. And there you go. Sleaze. All right, let's go to the phones here. Paul in Georgia on the line. Paul, what's going on?
Yes, sir. I wanted to call in and comment on the gun stuff, and I'm glad they took him out of that place.
Me too.
And interrupting everything. The thing about it is I sit there and I listen to Biden coming into all these places, and he talks about what a tragic it is, and then he sits there and starts talking about God this and God that. And I'm thinking, what God are you talking about? I mean, who do you reverence? Because it don't seem like it's the same one that I do. You know, you take your policies takes him out of the environment, out of all of life, and you sit there back all these little children being killed, abortion, and all that kind of stuff. And then when this happens, you want to come in and invoke the name of God? That just really gets to me. I'm thinking, what God are you talking to, buddy? You know.
We are a nation that does not value life, and that is reflected through Roe v. Wade, but it's also reflected, Paul, in all of our movies, all of our entertainment. Look at how we are entertained as a culture. We are entertained by watching people die, whether it's in video games or movies or listening to it in music.
Yes, sir, we do, and it's all in society. And I really wonder that young man that went out and you know, he did this tragic thing. I wonder how many people out of our churches today did anybody ever go to him and try to reason with him or talk to him? I mean, if they did and he refused it, it's on them. I mean, on him. But if they never even tried, that's a tragedy right there, because a lot of people's growing up without fathers, without any kind of role model, and they're getting into all this ungodly stuff, watching all the ungodly movies, and listening to all the ungodly stuff and participating in all this stuff. And then we got leaders in office that promote all this ungodly stuff. And then we wonder where all this comes from.
It's,
I mean, you
put
God out, who do you have left, you know?
Paul, it is a great question, and one that we all need to consider. Paul, appreciate the conversation, and thank you for listening. Let's go to Statesville, North Carolina, WSIC. Scott, what say you?
Hey. I'm a law enforcement officer, have been for 30 some years, but anyway, it's an easy fix. It just have to get people. A previous caller mentioned security teams. Get those into schools. My wife was a secretary at Cleveland Elementary, and we had a retired Navy SEAL that worked there as a teacher. That's the kind of person that there are in all the schools across the world, across the United States. You arm them, you don't advertise they're armed. Something happens, it stops quickly. Not to mention, there's a deterrent factor because no one knows where this person will be.
Yeah.
And are these people, for that matter. And it just, it's such a simple fix. We just have to quit being afraid to do something. And laws are not going to do it. There's just an innate evil in the world. I don't care how many walls you put up, sooner or later, somebody's coming inside. You got to have somebody there that's ready to stop them, and a single SRO officer cannot do it.
Scott, you're right, and we've got to get a handle on this. We've got to do it. We've got to protect our kids. Scott, we got to run. I'd love to talk to you more. Give us a call back, and folks, we'll be covering all of the developments over on our website. Here's what I want you to do. Tonight, I want you to pray for the families of those who lost their children in this great tragedy. I want you to pray for that Border Patrol officer who was injured taking out the suspect. I want you to pray for all the first responders who were incredibly traumatized by that crime scene yesterday. And I want you to go and hug your kids. And then I want you to get on the phone and I want you to call your Congress folks and tell them we got to deal with this. We've got to deal with it. If we're gonna take care of the Ukrainians, we got to take care of our own people as well. Folks, get out there. Have a great day. We're back tomorrow. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Progressive presents Married to Your Home.
I'm such a screw up.
What? House? Why would you talk like that?
How are you even with a house without a walk-in closet?
Stop. You have more than enough storage.
Oh, yeah. And the unfinished basement. Gross.
We'll finish it eventually. Together.
No matter how much you already love your house, you'll love it more knowing you could save big bundling your home and auto with Progressive. Coverage from Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Bundle discount not available in all states or situations.